From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, May 7th, 2026. Several Republican candidates for Maine governor are focusing their attacks on the presumed frontrunner Bobby Charles. Steve Missler has more.
An attorney and lobbyist, Charles is using bombastic rhetoric and an aggressive social media presence to try to stand out in the crowded field of seven candidates. While there's been little public polling of the race, increasing attacks from Charles's rivals signal that they view him as the frontrunner. And Charles is campaigning that way by skipping debates, including one this week hosted by WMTW. That prompted former Republican State Senator Garrett Mason and others to criticize his absence.
Do you guys wonder where Bobby is on all of these things?
Just curious. Yes.
I don't know. You know, it's hard to know.
We can tell you he is not here with us this evening to answer those questions.
Wish he was here to answer some questions, but I think he might be in bed.
Charles responded to the attacks in a Facebook post, describing the comments as, quote, absurd lies from establishment insiders. He plans to participate in a debate next week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Independent gubernatorial candidate Rick Bennett unveiled a four-part plan today that he says would help reduce energy prices for Maine industries and residents. Bennett, who represents parts of Oxford County in the state Senate, is proposing to lower the, quote, guaranteed return of 9.35% that investor-owned electric utilities currently receive. He wants to explore public ownership of utility poles and proposes working with economic development agencies to locate new industries in regions with excess energy infrastructure. He's also proposing $30 million in bonds to scale up home weatherization and energy efficiency programs.
When energy costs rise, everything becomes more expensive. Families feel it every month as they struggle to make ends meet, and businesses factor it into hiring expansion decisions.
As an independent, Bennett will not appear on next month's primary ballots in the race for governor. Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins disclosed yesterday that she has an essential tremor, a benign condition that sometimes causes her to shake. Collins first told News Center Maine about the condition, which she says she's had during her entire time in the U.S. Senate, going back to 1997. The disclosure came after questions arose on social media about Collins visibly shaking during various interviews. In a statement, Collins says the condition has no effect on her ability to do her job. She described it as inconvenient and, quote, sometimes the subject of cruel comments online, but nothing more. The U.S. Navy has awarded Bath Ironworks a contract to build the next Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. In a statement, Senator Collins said the contract underscores BIW's role as an essential shipyard for the Navy and will strengthen national security and support good-paying Maine jobs. The new ship will be named after Vietnam War veteran and Medal of Honor recipient Robert Ingram, according to Collins's office. Maine Health says it will open the state's first clinical research unit next year. Based at Maine Medical Center in Biddeford, the unit will perform clinical trials on therapies for cardiovascular and infectious diseases, cancer, and behavioral health. Jessica Scherto, vice president for research at Maine Health, says the unit will allow them to do early-stage clinical trials for Mainers who have exhausted treatment options.
There are so many benefits that I can see, but I think the biggest is access to trials and new discoveries, new treatments that Mainers haven't had in the past.
A federal judge has ordered Immigration and Customs Enforcement to release a Portland teenager who's been detained in Texas since November, according to her lawyers. Olivia Andre and her family are Congolese asylum seekers. Her mother and younger siblings were released from the same facility in March. But Todd Pomerlo, one of their attorneys, says the government kept Andre in custody even after a federal circuit court halted the family's deportation pending an appeal.
You know, is this what people want to pay taxes for? These aren't criminal illegal aliens, yet they were labeled the same by the government.
Andre's case has gained widespread attention, with Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree calling for her release, most recently during an oversight visit on Tuesday to the ICE facility where Andre is being held. In a written statement last month, an ICE spokesperson said Andre has, quote, no right to remain in the U.S. It's unclear why she remained in custody after her family was released. Gas prices are soaring in Maine as the war in Iran grinds on. AAA says the average price per gallon in Maine is $4.53. That's about 25 cents more than a week ago. And compared to 1 year ago, Mainers are paying about $1.50 more per gallon of gas. Diesel is averaging about $5.80 a gallon, according to AAA. And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse. That's our regular analysis of government and politics. I'm joined by Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller and Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler. Maine's primary elections are on June 9th, so just over a month away. We had a major shakeup in the Democratic Senate primary last week when Governor Janet Mills withdrew from the race. That's largely cleared the path for Graham Plattner to challenge Republican Senator Susan Collins this fall, but there are still several other hotly contested primaries next month. Kevin, your Political Pulse newsletter this week focused on the Democratic primary for governor. How is that race shaping up?
Yeah, thanks, Ari. So we have five Democrats that are running for the nomination on June 9th. They are Secretary of State Shanna Bellows, former Senate President Troy Jackson, businessman Angus King III, former House Speaker Hannah Pingree, and then former Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah. And what I think is fairly interesting about this race is that it's really been kind of it's a very civil affair. They all talk about how much they agree. They're all Democrats, obviously. They have similar policy platforms, but they've been trying hard to kind of differentiate themselves on specific issues. And that's kind of a little bit of what we tried to dive into in the Pulse newsletter.
And of course, President Trump isn't on the ballot this year, being a midterm election. But Kevin, it sounds like the Democrats are spending a lot of time talking about him.
Yeah, they certainly are. I mean, every single one of them mentions him in speeches and rallies, but they are laying out somewhat different visions about, you know, how they would actually go about doing it. Bellows has talked a lot about how she's already done that as Secretary of State, whether it was trying to deny Trump's place on the ballot back in 2024 or the lawsuit that she's now pursuing to block the Trump administration from gaining access to voter data here in Maine.
I was fighting Trump before it was popular. In 24, I ruled Trump was ineligible for the ballot because January 6th was an insurrection.
Similarly, former Senate President Troy Jackson talked about how he helped to lead the effort to protect and expand access to abortion and to strengthen insurance laws during the first Trump administration. But he's also talked about how the state needs to take a more aggressive role against federal agents if they're breaking the law, and that he would actually push to arrest agents who violate the state's law or constitution. And here he is during a recent debate hosted by CBS 13 and the Bangor Daily News.
I mean, law enforcement does not get a pass because they're law enforcement. If they're violating people's rights, then they should be held accountable immediately. And as governor, I'll do that.
Former CDC Director Nirav Shah has also talked about asking the Attorney General to take legal action against federal agents who violate the Constitution. And here is Shah during a recent debate.
The next ICE surge is a distinct possibility, and the next governor needs to be ready so we don't have to get ready.
And then Angus King III says he would work closely with other blue state governors to fight Trump on health care, on energy, and voting rights. But he also praised Mainer's response to the recent federal immigration crackdown.
And that's what we're going to have to do for all of the disasters that Trump visits upon us. It's like the eye of Sauron, and every once in a while it's going to land on Maine, and we're going to have to push back.
Steve, turning to you now, what jumps out for you about how Trump is factoring into the governor's race?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Ari, because, you know, obviously the Democratic candidates have got the memo that standing up to Trump is something that Democratic primary voters are really looking for. And so obviously the Democratic candidates for governor are going to try to, you know, position themselves as these, you know, Trump bulwarks. You know, on the Republican side of the ledger, which is what I've been paying more attention to, it's obviously the opposite, you know, where Republican candidates, there's, you know, you have to show some level of loyalty to the president, really, these days. Although it's interesting, it's not quite as overt as I've seen in past races, you know, past Republican primaries. There's more of a, well, we need to work with the Trump administration and that sort of thing, which seems to be sort of this tacit admission that, you know, championing Trump and talking about him all the time may not be such a great thing for Republican candidates in the general election, particularly in Maine. But of course, they still have to do that to be successful in the Republican primary.
So one of the issues that seems to be pretty prominent in both parties' gubernatorial primaries this year is taxes. Steve, what are we hearing from Democrats?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Democrats are focusing on, you know, taxing the wealthy. Again, an issue that I think is the result of a lot of the policies that we've seen come out of the Trump administration, you know, tax cuts that benefit corporations and, you know, wealthy individuals. So I think Democrats are talking a lot about, you know, ways to level the playing field. You know, when Governor Janet Mills was in a contested primary against Graham Plattner in the U.S. Senate race, you know, she actually okayed a millionaire's tax in the legislature. That's now law. That's something that she opposed just a year ago. And of course, you're seeing Democratic gubernatorial candidates actually wanting to take it a step further.
And I'll just add in here, this is Kevin. Troy Jackson has actually called for doubling that 2% surcharge on any income that people make above $1 million, and then using some of that proceeds to go back to help subsidize property tax relief.
Well, I want to pull on that thread for a second, Kevin, because many Mainers, of course, as we know, are struggling under the weight of rising property taxes. In addition to that plan you just mentioned from Troy Jackson, what are some of the other Democratic candidates saying about their plans for reducing property taxes?
Shenna Bellows has proposed freezing property taxes for Maine residents while doubling the property taxes on second homes who are owned by non-Mainers. Hannah Pingree has advocated a similar strategy by allowing localities to increase property taxes. Again, these would be on second homes owned by non-Maine residents. And here is Hannah Pingree during a recent debate.
I put out a plan that asks those who own second homes who are not Maine residents to pay a little bit more. We also can put more taxes on folks who come here in the summertime and give a break to Maine people.
Dr. Shaw has actually also called for allowing towns to generate more money for property tax relief by imposing up to a 2% local sales tax, especially if it's targeted for tourists to somehow offset property tax increases.
And that was Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller and chief political correspondent Steve Missler. The Political Pulse team will be back next week to discuss the Republican gubernatorial primary. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, paid family and medical leave. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.